I'm Josephine Reed from the National Endowment for the Arts with the Chairman's Corner, a weekly podcast with Marianne Carter, Chairman of the Arts Endowment. This is where we'll discuss issues of importance to the arts community and a whole lot more. This week, we continue our conversation about creativity and persistence, the book that the National Endowment for the Arts published to mark the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment. And there was so much to talk about, we had to have a two-part podcast, didn't we, Marianne?
We did, yes. We could probably make it a five-part series.
So tell us a little bit more about the book.
So the book, of course, is titled Creativity and Persistence, Art That Fueled the Fight for Women's Suffrage. The book explores how poetry, song, editorial cartoons, posters, postcards, fashion, all of those things helped rally support for the suffrage movement and gave women new tools to make their voices heard.
Why don't you tell us about a couple of your favorite moments from the book?
A lot of favorite moments, but I want to talk about two facets today of the book. They're not dominant themes. They're really interesting and important, especially for the time. What is it long before August 26, 1920, when the 19th Amendment was certified to the U.S. Constitution? 11 states, mostly in the West, had already given women the right to vote. The first state to allow women the right to vote wasn't even a state at the time. It was the territory of Wyoming. And women were able to vote there beginning in 1869, followed by the territory of Utah a year later. And then as they became states, they continued their support of women's suffrage.
I'm glad you brought this up because this is something that I learned this year. I honestly didn't realize that millions of women were voting before the passage of the 19th Amendment and that women's suffrage really moved from West to East.
It did. And there's a great iconic image in the book called The Awakening. And it shows all the states in the West that already have the right to vote. And Lady Liberty is marching across the country from West to East. And you can just see the symbolism of women on the East Coast thinking, if them, why not me? And so I just love that piece. But the suffragists on the East Coast, they really looked to the Western states for inspiration. And they were celebrated in posters and postcards and other illustrations. I'll give you two examples. One is an artist named Nina Allender. She was one of the most important suffrage cartoonists of the early 20th century. She produced more than 200 cartoons for Suffragist Magazine, including my favorite, Victory, which I chose for the cover of the book. And another of her cartoons is called Wise Women of the West. And it shows three women standing before the U.S. Capitol, which is below a blazing star that looks very much like the Star of Bethlehem. And instead of bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh, the women bring loyalty, power, and courage to Washington. And I think that's a really significant image.
Well, speaking of images, it's interesting the way the suffragists use symbols, especially heraldic and classical symbols, in their artwork.
Yes, a lot of different symbols. Religious symbols were used, but also heraldic symbols. Classical styles like women in Grecian dresses with laurels in the hair and sandals on their feet, and classical settings such as a colonnaded garden, connected the artwork visually to the authority and grandeur of ancient Greece. Another good example in the book is Evelyn Rumsey Carey's dramatic painting, Women's Suffrage, that features a young woman in classical dress in front of a peaked portico supported by columns. And the woman's fingers grow into tree branches and legs extend into roots. And the painting harkens to the Greek story of Daphne and Apollo, in which Daphne turns herself into a tree to escape the unwanted romantic intentions of Apollo. And, you know, especially back in that time period, these heraldic symbols were enormously popular. Think of tall standards with waving banners atop, or suffragettes calling their compatriots with long trumpets, or sitting astride horses that are bedecked with splendid regalia. And of course, Joan of Arc, That 15th century girl warrior was a fascination in turn of the century America. And the suffragists found that she was an excellent metaphor for their own women warriors.
And Marianne, we do have to talk about the audiobook that we produced of Creativity and Persistence.
Yes. So we're very proud to be able to offer Creativity and Persistence as an audiobook. The narrator is Julia Whalen. She is the voice of over 400 audiobooks, and she was actually recently named one of Audiophile magazine's Golden Voices. She's won numerous other awards, including the 2019 Best Female Narrator Audie for Tara Westover's Educated.
That's like the Academy Award of audiobooks.
Yes, absolutely. So we're very pleased to get her. And I know you'll tell everyone at the end of this show where they can download a copy of the book or listen to it on audio. But I just want to encourage all of our listeners to take the opportunity to read about the history of the arts and how it pertained to women's suffrage. And I'm just so pleased we are able to offer this to the American public.
And I think that's a great place to leave it, Marianne. And as you know, we're taking a break from the podcast next week, so I will talk to you again on September 10th. I hope you have a great Labor Day.
Thank you. You too.
That was Marianne Carter, chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. Check out arts.gov for a PDF of Creativity and Persistence and the audiobook of Creativity and Persistence, narrated by Julia Whalen. And while you're there, take a look at the latest issue of American Artscape, which focuses on arts projects that celebrate women's suffrage and equality. It's all at arts.gov. For the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.